And welcome to Bat Flips and Nerds Season Preview Podcast, the baseball podcast with a British twist. You can find us on at batflips_nerds on Twitter and on Facebook at facebook.com/batflipsandnerds. I'm your host, Tom Pringle. As you may have heard in our previous episodes, there are plenty of other podcasts out there already producing their season previews, and they'll probably be more in-depth and with more analysis. Here at Batflips and Nerds, we try to do something a little different, inviting British fans of teams to come onto the podcast and talk about their team. We've got no clever order for this. It's literally who's available at what time. So without further delay, joining me today is to talk all about the Washington Nationals is Mike Whitcomb. How are you, Mike?
Not bad, thanks, man. How are you?
Oh, good. After stumbling through that read at least four times before we started. Yeah, I'm going to probably edit that one out and get rid of all the mistakes. And then I'll go with that one that we just did. right. So my first question to you then is, how big will the rebuild be once Bryce Harper goes?
Ooh, I think we might be in for a quiet few years. I think we have tried to stack everything into this season. And I mean, the Adam Eaton trade was just basically sacrificing the future for the now. So we'll just have to see it. It's really sort of kind of shooting in the dark after this season. And he will be missed. You know, he's kind of the next to Ryan Zimmerman, the face of DC baseball. So it's anyone's guess at this moment. And I'm slightly nervous, I have to admit.
Do you reckon there's any chance if they start to fall out of the race, they'll try and trade him and get something before he goes?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends how our season goes, but realistically, I think we'd hope to be pushing late enough in the season that we wouldn't try and do anything.
Cool. So what made you a fan of the Nationals then?
I mean, very simply, I was living in DC a few years ago and had an afternoon off. I was a bit bored. Went along to Nationals Park and never looked back. I mean, I started off as a baseball fan, more interested in San Diego Padres, slightly guilty secret, but moved on to the Nationals. And ever since that magical 2012 season, never looked back.
Do you think you moved on from the Padres just purely because of their record, or was it a case that they were a West Coast team, or what was it?
I think it was much more simple than that. I think the Nationals just had a better, I mean, I'm an English teacher. The Nationals just had a better story. And I think particularly as a new team, that chance to sort of make history in those early years was just too tempting. Yeah, they just sucked me in and I traded my loyalties, which fans should never do, but I don't intend to.
Yeah. I think we can get away with it over here, though, can't we, if we're honest? I think if you're from the area, then, yeah, it'd be a bit ropey if you left a team for a new team. It would be a bit dodgy. So, yeah, you mentioned that 2012 season then. I happened to have a quick look through the records of the Nationals in the past, and if we just go for wins totals, I won't bother reading out the losses each time. So 2012, it was 98. 2013, it was 86. 2014, it was 96. 2015, it was 83. 2016, it was 95. I don't want to jump ahead too far, but does this look like it's going to be a down year then? Because it seems to alternate.
I mean, I think it's going to be very tight in our division, but yeah. I think we've got such a strong lineup this season that if our aces can stay healthy, we're in with as good a shot as anyone in the National League of fighting towards the World Series. I think we've got a very, very strong squad this year.
Yeah, very much so. We'll come on to that in a bit more detail in a sec then. So do you use MLB TV? I'm guessing like everyone you do.
Absolutely, yep. It's typical evening for me is come home, fire up the Xbox and just sit in front of whatever day game happens to be on that day.
Okay, so it's all on the console then. Have you got an iPad or an iPhone you use?
Yeah, I mean, I use them and it's good to get the updates through my phone, for example, like through the iPhone, but I think the Xbox is great because I can just sit in front of it and flick between games on a nice big screen. It's lovely. Can't beat it.
Yeah, it is fantastic. I think the apps seem to be getting a bit more stable as well. I've certainly used NFL Game Pass and NBA. I think it's League Pass, that one's called, and the NHL one. But yeah, the NFL and the NBA one's a little bit ropey, I find. Now, NHL, they use MLB Advanced Media. They use all their software, so it's becoming much more stable, but I think out of all of them it's definitely the best one I've ever used.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of years ago I had quite regular problems with it, but I think by and large, for what it is, it's one of the best systems out there. And yeah, I was much more pleased with it last season than I was in any previous season.
Yeah. I do still find sometimes I get the odd game where it's just a little bit ropey and the picture might be juddery or the box score doesn't update properly. But I mean, most of the time, MLB Advanced Media come to me on Twitter if I complain and say, just delete the app and reinstall it. And you know what? I don't think it's really a solution. But for what we get, I can't really complain too much.
Absolutely not. And I think as British baseball fans, we're so lucky because we don't have the blackout restrictions. We can just watch.
Yeah, very true. Yeah.
Admittedly, you know, might be a few late nights throughout the season, but if you can put up with that, yeah, it's a fantastic value for money.
Yeah, speaking of late nights, I mean, we mentioned it before, we'll mention it now as well. Do you watch other games or do you just purely watch the Nationals?
I am happy to watch whatever game is on. I mean, I definitely have teams who I prefer to watch, generally if they're in a particularly cool stadium. But yeah, I mean, my first loyalty is to baseball, not necessarily to the Nationals. So I will happily sit and waste a few hours in front of whatever day game is on.
So if the Nationals are out of the race, do you still watch the Nationals if they're on first, or is it a case of I'll just watch whatever else is on because they're gone?
I mean, it depends on I'll always watch the Nationals if I can, although, you know, sometimes if it's a particularly close game, it's a bit too nerve-wracking for me. But yeah, I mean, I prefer to watch the Nationals usually, but I mean, if that's not convenient, if they're struggling a bit and there's a really exciting matchup on at the same time, sure, I'll watch that instead, happily.
Yeah. Well, speaking of exciting matchups, we can talk about the Nationals last season, who had a pretty decent season. The fact they were 95-67. So just give us a quick recap of what happened.
Well, we were consistent throughout the season. I think the Mets were very unlucky with injuries they had, particularly to their pitching staff. But we were consistent. We came through, got to the postseason. It was great to watch. We looked quite comfortable throughout the season. And then, you know, we did what we seem to be making a habit of doing in the postseason of kind of falling at the first hurdle, which is always a little heartbreaking, but we've got a strong team this season, so I'm hoping we can make up for it with, you know, a pretty good push this time around.
Yeah, I mean, you say falling the first hurdle. This hurdle that you met was a very strong Dodgers side, and it all came down to the fact that Kershaw had to make a save in the final game, which I don't think anyone was really expecting. I think reading reports afterwards, he was talking to Dave Roberts and saying, you know, I want to go back out there. I want to do this. And he was saying, Are you sure you're going to be okay? And he goes, yeah, get me back out. So I think, you know, yeah, it may be, you know, the first hurdle and all of that, but it was a strong side you lost to.
Absolutely. And, you know, last time around, we lost to a very strong St. Louis side. So we can't, you know, we can't be too down on ourselves, but it's always, there's always quite a lot of hype behind our team. I've been a bit relieved this season that there's not been quite as many people predicting us to win the World Series.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to ignore that and sort of distance yourself from it. And the level of expectation on us when we made it to the postseason was, I think it might have affected us. I don't know.
I think 15 was the big season, wasn't it, when Max Scherzer came in. And there was just so much talk about the fact you had the strongest rotation in baseball, you're going to walk your way to the World Series. And then there was a serious struggle behind the Mets that year.
Yeah, I mean that was probably the most disappointing season that I've been a Nationals fan for. I think that's where this fear of hype really comes from as a Nationals fan.
Yeah.
Going through that and being part of that struggle and just seeing us not perform at the level that, you know, you expect us to perform at and that we kind of should have been performing at in a way. I mean, you take the Mets last season, I think they were very unlucky, but with us that season, we just weren't good enough. And I'm hoping that we can put a few demons to rest this time around.
Yeah, so I mean, let's look at the positives then for the year. Then the fact that you dominated the NL East, as you said, the Mets were fairly unlucky, but I think their offense was really struggling as well.
Yeah.
You got the Strasburg extension sorted, but then that fell into him going into the DL as well, which is a bit of a shame.
Yeah.
Trey Turner properly arrived on the scene after his short stint in 15, and then we also got to see Daniel Murphy just explode in a Nationals uniform.
Thank you, New York. I mean, that was
Ooh.
such a good trade. I mean, such a good season he had. And he was a joy to watch. And it almost seemed like he was as surprised as everyone else that he was being as good as he was. So we're hoping that he has another good season. We don't know if it, I mean, he was runner-up for MVP in the NL, wasn't he? I mean, really quite phenomenal season. He's probably not going to do that again, but he's certainly got a lot of backing amongst the Nats support, and he's a very good player. Hopefully he can pull it out something similar this time around.
Yeah, exactly. So moving on to this year then, you're saying pretty confident. Payroll's just jumped up. It's not a huge amount it's jumped up by. The farm system's taken a bit of a hit with the Eaton trade, but how do you think it's going to go then?
Yeah, I mean, like most Nats fans, I wasn't too happy about the Eaton trade. I think that was a bit short-sighted. But, you know, Eaton's a great player. He's part of a fantastic lineup. Offensively, we're strong. Pitching strong, provided our aces stay healthy. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a good season for us. I wouldn't predict World Series success. I mean, I think the Cubs have already pretty much wrapped that one up. But we're going to the postseason. I'm fairly confident about that much, at least.
Yeah.
But the rest, we'll just have to see.
Do you feel like you need a closer?
I think we're going to miss Mark, definitely. And I think we need to think about our bullpen a little bit more as we're going along and as the season progresses. But, you know, I'm confident in the bullpen. I think for the time being, it's not necessarily a problem. But if we're looking to strengthen the side as we get head towards the postseason, you know, fingers crossed, that's definitely the glaring weakness in our side at the moment. And we'll just take the seat.
I think it's quite a strange one, though, isn't it? Because you see a lot of teams come in with a real dead cert closer. And within about 3-4 months, those guys get shifted down and rotated around in the bullpen. And it seems like somebody else then suddenly rises to the top. And they're the closer. It's like, oh, this is the guy we're always going to use. It's like, well, no, it wasn't. So I can see closers suddenly becoming available, or somebody just becoming a closer out of that bullpen.
It's happened to us before, and our bullpen's always kind of changed around quite a lot, and it's very difficult to see how it's going to play out. I hope someone's going to step up. It's been a position we've had weaknesses in years past, so all I can do is cross my fingers and hope that, you know, one of that quite strong bullpen is capable, really.
Yeah, you've used the word hope quite a lot during this podcast.
Yeah, I think that comes from having your hopes dashed at, like I said, the first hurdle in the postseason a few times around, and being such a highly rated team for the last few years, it's kind of like when is it going to be our year? So hope is just a big part of being a Nationals fan, really. And, you know, we're in a lucky position. We have a very, very strong lineup, but we've seen very strong Nats lineups struggle, like the 2015 ones. So,
yeah,
it's just very difficult to see how exactly the season's going to play out. But I have faith.
Yeah, I think that's it. We can all make our predictions. We can all look at Pagota. We can all look at Steamer 600, whatever it's called. We could do all of this, but at the end of the day, that first month can just really set the tone for the whole season.
Absolutely. And we're just going to have to wait and see. I think we'll come out of the blocks quite strong. I think we've got a lot of young players and pitchers with something to prove, but it's whether we can keep that up. And most important of all, whether we can keep the likes of Scherzer and the rest of them injury free, because that is going to make or break our season.
Yeah. Definitely. So just going back to the Eaton trade, so you weren't quite that high on it then. Which elements weren't you high on? Getting Eaton or losing Giolito?
I really rate Adam Eaton. I think he's a great player. He's got a great attitude and he's consistent. I think he's a good pick for any team, especially one pushing for a postseason spot. But that said, trading away your top pitching prospect, I don't know. I just, it felt like we were trying to put everything into this season at the expense of the next 3 or 4 years. Mm. And to give away the quality of players we did, the number of players we did, I think it was a lot. But That's absolutely no disrespect to Adam Eaton, who I think is a fantastic player and actually a really good fit for this Nats team. I think he's really going to slot well into the batting order and will provide a level of consistency that will be really important as our season goes on.
Yeah, so, I mean, the predicted batting order then for the Nationals has Eaton going off first.
Yeah.
And it also has him smashing in a warp of three games, pretty much. So he's going to make a huge difference. But as you've already said, this lineup's pretty strong. So, I mean, we all know what happened with the trade and what went down, the fact that the Nationals are really in for Chris Sale to begin with. So it seemed kind of strange that they didn't go for another pitcher. It seemed strange that they sort of kept the same players on the table, but then went for Eaton.
It was. You know, for a while, it just seemed like we were throwing our name into the hat for every single all-star player who was coming up. But I think it can be hard to see sometimes where would be best to recruit to within the team, because our pitching lineup is strong and it's just a matter of keeping everyone healthy, like I keep saying. I think I can understand why they did it. I think I always saw Eaton as a bonus rather than an integral part of our push towards the postseason. He's going to make us a much stronger team, but I don't think there's anything that was a glaring weakness in the team that we could have recruited an all-star player for, except a closer, maybe. But, you know.
If you had the choice of all closers available, who would you have gone for?
I would have kept Mark Melancon. I thought he was doing really well for us, but
quite a strange one. Why didn't he sign? Did he give a reason for it?
I can't remember. All I can remember is the sense of disappointment that when he left. So I'm not sure myself, but fingers crossed.
Just imagine the absolute joy of the San Francisco Giant fans, though, who have an actual closer now. The amount of games they lost last year due to their closer was just shocking.
Well, good luck to the Giants, but they do have a habit of taking my favourite Nats players. You know, they took the them for, you know.
Right then, so we'll skip on then to the quick questions then. So who's an outside player who's not being recognised for his talents then?
Well, within the Nats, I'd have to say probably Michael Taylor, fantastic outfielder. Really flies under a lot of people's radar, but he is a great player, still young, consistent, everything you want. Outside of the Nationals, well, I mean, I just said it, Denard Span. I mean, how can you not love Denard Span? He brings so much to any team that he plays for. And his little sort of at-bat routine where he taps the bat on the plate is just adorable. So I would love to have him back. I'd take him back in a heartbeat.
It sounds like the poetry of baseball.
I'm an English teacher. I can't help that.
Yeah, exactly. You always find the hidden meanings in things. Okay, what's your one bold or wild prediction for this season?
My bold prediction is that the key to our success is not going to be Bryce Harper.
Wow.
I think he's going to have a good season, but not a phenomenal season. And, you know, a good Bryce Harper season is still better than almost, you know, any other player going. But I think it's all in the pitching for us. And I think people's eyes shouldn't be on Harper all the time. I don't think he's going to be the main thing to look for in the Nationals this year.
Like it. I like that. That's pretty bold. Right, let's get some silly questions done then. So who's going to get the kebab after a night out?
Has to be Jason Wirth, doesn't it? You know,
yes.
I think a few years ago, it might have been Adam LaRoche. You know, he might have done a barbecue or something. But yeah, I can just see Jason Wirth getting the kebabs in whilst he restrains Bryce Harper for starting a fight with someone outside.
Jason Wirth, and he'd definitely have garlic mayo and lettuce just hanging off his beard.
Oh, he'd have everything, and it would all have
It'd be garlic chili mayo or something crazy
It'd
as well.
It'd be a mess, yeah.
So who's going to claim not to have any cash during the taxi ride home?
See, this is where I wish that Jonathan... One of the very rare occasions where I wish that Jonathan Papelbon still played for the Nationals, because then I could say him. I think possibly Bryce Harper, you know, he's a bit young, a bit naive. It's easy. Yeah, I'll go for Bryce.
I go with Bryce as well. So who's going to miss the night out and stay in to watch Great British Bake Off?
It's got to be Ryan Zimmerman. He's the old man of the team, you know.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have that slight zaniness that Jason Wirth does. You know, he's He's more like the granddad of the team almost. So I can definitely see him putting his feet up and shaking his head as the texts come in from the rest of it.
There'd be a WhatsApp group, wouldn't there? And they'd just be sending photos of this night out, and he just wouldn't be involved.
Yeah, he'd be occasionally rolling his eyes, but not contributing very much.
So, unfortunately, Papabon's not playing for you, but who's the crazy Alan Partridge who's going to drive barefoot to Dundee?
You know, part of me wants to say Jason Wirth again, but I think Gio Gonzalez has some hidden craziness, hidden zaniness hidden in there. He's got a very cheeky smile, so I'm going to go for him. I think he could surprise a lot of people.
I think that's a good one. Generally, people's response to this question have been crazy people, but I've sort of looked at the quiet man on the team, the one who's going to most likely to flip, and I agree with that.
Oh, yeah. You know, when Gio flips, he's going to go all out, so it's him for sure.
Okay, then. So can you recommend any Twitter accounts, blogs, beat writers that you enjoy whilst following the team?
Sure. So the two Twitter accounts I'd really recommend, Nationals Reviews are a really good one. They also have very up-to-date stuff, really on top of things. And the other one's kind of not a writer per se, but like a feed called Nationals on Reddit on Twitter, which just highlights threads where people are discussing particularly interesting things about the Nationals. So those two are my two go-to Twitter accounts that I check most days.
Cool. Right. Well, thank you all for joining us for this episode of Backflips and Nerds. I'd like to thank Mike for joining me. Mike, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Mike Whitcomb. And feel free to talk Nationals with me anytime.
Yeah, give Mike a follow. I've been your host, Tom Pringle, and you can find me on Twitter at Pedroia's Face. That's the second baseman for the Boston Red Sox. And you can contact the show on Twitter at batflips_nerds. On Facebook, facebook.com/batflipsandnerds, or email us on batflipsnerds@gmail.com. You can subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher. Just search for Batflips and Nerds. And please do give us a rating, as it makes it easier for folk to find our podcast. Tell your baseball friends about us. Doesn't matter if they aren't British, we do welcome all sorts. Once again, thanks for listening. Hello, and welcome to Batflips and Nerds Season Preview Podcast, the baseball podcast with a British twist. You can find us on at Batflips and Nerds. Right, start that again. Good start. Right. Hello, and welcome to Batflips and Nerds Season Preview Podcast, the British... Oh, my word. Right, sorry, Mike. I usually warn everyone beforehand that I sometimes might have to start again. Right.
Totally fine.
Hello, and welcome to Batflips and Nerds Season Preview Podcast, the British... Oh, my word. Right, I'm going to actually stop this recording.